You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class for a Wednesday here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DePaco Community Credit Union, and check them out online at DePaco.com. And you can do that. You can also go to KGYMradio.com and find out more about their great services, or just stop on by any one of their numerous stores up and down the corridor and around Eastern Iowa. Good show coming up for you. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, the Open Championship edition of Caddy Smack today. That's an awful, awful British accent. I apologize to the world for that. But we will talk golf coming up. The Open Championship will tee off at 12:30 Iowa time tomorrow morning. And should be a very, very interesting tournament. A lot of aspects to talk about. Brian Haas is here in studio, and we will take your questions as far as golf is concerned with Brian. If you have one specific, at 319-366-1600. That is our text line as well, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line. That doubles up as our phone line, same digits, 319-366-1600. Special guest today, Dave Rowe, Director of Golf for the City of Cedar Rapids, is going to be joining us on the phone, and we will talk about a pretty special event that will be happening coming up this week here in the city of Five Seasons. A lot to get to prior to that, though. And again, text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Here's Mark joins me on a Wednesday edition of the show. Pleasant good afternoon on a beautiful Wednesday. How you doing?
Doing well. Good afternoon, gents. Good afternoon, everyone. And, yeah, Brian's already got a win in his pocket before he steps in the studio. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to that. And if you had a double take to the calendar today, I do not blame you if you are a football fan, because it snuck up on all of us. Big 12 Media Days getting underway. And as far as Big 12 Media Day is concerned, they, of course, with a brand new commissioner, as pretty much the first time in the public eye for Brett Yormark. And I am not one bit surprised by what he had to say today down in Dallas-Fort Worth, in Arlington, actually. The brand-new commissioner of the Big 12 said, quote, "One thing is for sure, there is no doubt the Big 12 is open for business," unquote. Keep in mind that he comes from the entertainment side of things as far as sports is concerned. And he's going to make this a business, Mark, and the Big 12 is open for business. That tells me that Big 12 is, I don't know if they're going to be able to flex their muscles with the SEC and the Big 10, but they're going to do what they can to make the Big 12 as strong a brand as they possibly can.
You have to these days. Yormark said the league needs to get hipper. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Bob Bowlsby is not hip. Come on.
But every league needs to be proactive now, and whether the Big 12 expansion or lack thereof depends on other dominoes falling. As we talked to Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic yesterday, he thinks the Big 12 is going to let some dominoes fall. Maybe it's Notre Dame. Maybe it's the Pac-12 teams. But no question, you got to be proactive these days.
So it tells me that we're going to see the Big 12 try to expand their brand and whatever they need to do to make themselves hipper is going to be coming down the line as far as Big 12 play is concerned. And what that is remains to be seen, because I'm not sure what you can do to hip things up. But hey, I'm sure they got a bunch of people that can come up with the solution to that question. Am I right?
Better.
What can you do to hip up the Big 12 golf scene? I don't know, but we'll leave that up to them. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim says, I'm running through a wall for Brett Yormark. Thank you, Tim. Get it hipper. You have any ideas, Cyclone Tim, on how we can get the Big 12 hipper? Go ahead and let us know.
I think one thing that came out today, Mike Gundy was asked about it, the Oklahoma State coach, and that is about the Bedlam series with Oklahoma. Oklahoma going to the SEC, whether that will continue. I hope it does, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I'm with you. Another one of those terrific, long-time historic rivalries are going to go by the wayside. And that it's a shame. It's a shame. And because Oklahoma, I think it's more on the Oklahoma side because obviously playing in the SEC, they're not going to need another big-time game like that. It's just going to... It's depends not going
how,
to help them.
Depends on how many conference games each conference is going to have. 9, 10, 12. Not 12, but 9 or 10. And that only leaves two opponents.
Maybe 12 would be hip. 10 minutes, make it 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. So you got Big 12 Media Days going on. That in Arlington, Texas today. And also... You have, I mean, the SEC is on deck as far as their media days are concerned. Also today, a little bit new of news as far as the NBA is concerned is Adam Silver endorsing changing the NBA's minimum age requirement from 19 to 18. I don't think a huge deal because you're starting to see more and more instead of going to college for 1 year, you're starting to see players go into the G League, if you will, into some of that to help them get acclimated as far as professional basketball is concerned. So, you know, those are 18-year-olds. It's going to be better. It's going to hip up the NBA, Mark.
They're few and far between, though, aren't there?
Well, there's going to be
more. You've got Kobe Bryant.
You started with a few, and there are more now. And I think there are probably going to be in the neighborhood of 10 or so each year that are going to take advantage of this situation. Instead of going to play for Louisville for 1 year, Duke 1 year, they're going to go to this. And, yeah, I don't think it's going to make much. It's not going to change college basketball because these guys are already not in college. So it's kind of a, okay, let's go ahead and get this done.
A one and done's a farce anyway, right?
It is, but it's like I said, it's a better situation on the backside of that than it used to be. At least you can get evaluated now when you go into the when you declare for the draft, like Joe Wieskamp did, and like Chris Murray did, and get some feedback, chance to get out there, see what you need to do better, come back to the college game. So they have improved it as far as that is concerned, at least in my opinion. There you go. Any talk about going to a 14-game schedule in NCAA football? It's all about the money. I could see 13 someday. I don't see 14 yet.
Boy, that's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
Although, at other levels, FCS, Division II, Division III, you reach the championship game and you're going to have played 15, 16 games. Maybe not at the D3 level because a lot of them only play 9 or 10 regular season games, but the FCS, the South Dakota States, the UNIs, the North Dakota States, if you reach a championship game, you're going to play at least that many games.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And before we get to Mark and an email sideways scoreboard update here, it is now official. Michigan State and Gonzaga are going to play a basketball game again on an aircraft carrier, which is cool. I think it's awesome. They've done it before, not those two teams, but there has been a game on an aircraft carrier.
We're not talking about middle of the ocean either.
No, we are not. We are not. Probably anchored, but still a pretty, pretty cool situation. 2012 was the last time. It's going to be on the USS Abe Lincoln, and it's going to be off the coast of San Diego. So Good stuff. There were five previous Carrier Classics. Michigan State did play in one of those against North Carolina. So there you go. They've been on the USS Midway, and this one's going to be on the USS Abraham Lincoln. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to basketball after football gets underway. Looking forward to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil Sideway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Check them out online at emilsideway.com. What you got?
Afternoon baseball. The Twins have left about 25 runners on base, and the second of two against Milwaukee. It's 1-1 right now. Milwaukee with a runner on second base, top of the ninth inning. Kansas City leading Detroit 5-1. All of a sudden, the Royals playing pretty good baseball. That's in the seventh inning. Second inning, Arizona and San Francisco scoreless. And one final in, Seattle has defeated Washington 6-4. A reminder, in the Open Championship, Zach Johnson will tee off at 2:36 Central Time, a.m., about 11 hours. I won't be going home and going to bed to get up and see that, but at any rate, that's when Zach begins play. Toronto Blue Jays have fired manager Charlie Montoya. Jays sitting four games over 500, 46-42, but like everyone else in the East, far out of contention. And finally, only because I have a couple hockey guys here, I'm not one of them. Goaltender Darcy Kemper of Colorado.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup winning Colorado has signed a free agent contract with Washington.
Yeah.
Colorado evidently couldn't afford him.
True.
So therefore, he goes to Washington.
That'll be interesting. Very, very interesting as the world turns.
The free right agency there. Period has begun in the NHL.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
With a lot less fanfare. Cyclone Tim says, I saw a pig fly across Mount Vernon Road. The Reds must have beaten the Yankees last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That is, hey, it's tough to win every game in baseball. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we are going to get Caddy Smack on the Gym Class underway. Up first, a conversation with Director of Golf here in the city of Cedar Rapids, Dave Rose. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we are going to have plenty of sunshine today, and it is going to be tolerable out there in terms of the humidity. Temperatures will be in the low to mid 80s. Tonight we'll have partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 60s. Tomorrow, a few clouds going to be passing on through. Temperatures will be in the low 80s. Humidity will be up a smidge. We'll then have clouds increasing in the evening and rain chances going up Thursday night into early Friday, and humidity will be up as well. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along, and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Drunk driving is one of America's most often committed and deadliest crimes. Each year, nearly 10,000 people die on the road due to drunk driving. In order to stop this deadly epidemic, cops are cracking down. Police officers are aggressively looking for drunk drivers and will arrest anyone caught driving drunk. They'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
319, back with you in the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class as Brian Haas joining us once again here today in studio, fresh from a victory in the IGA senior match play. Is that correct?
Yeah, the PGA match play.
PGA match play. All right. In the semifinals.
In semifinals. So I'll be in the finals, just waiting a match between Chris Black and I can't remember who the other player was.
Chris out of Independence.
Good player. Yep. Absolutely. And the other one is Kurt Schnell.
Also a pretty good player.
Pretty good player. Yep. Got my hands full for sure. Whichever one emerges from their side of the bracket.
Yeah. So that
you're 5-1 to win it.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll give you the website for Brian coming up here before too long here, before we close up shop here at 4 o'clock today. But we talked golf. Of course, the Open Championship going to be getting underway. Oh, gosh, not too long. About a little more than nine hours, they will hit the first shot at St. Andrews for the 150th Open Championship. We'll talk about that. We'll answer your questions for Brian as well at 319-366-1600. But we're going to first talk about a pretty darn big event that is coming and a long time coming to the city of Cedar Rapids as Dave Rowe is joining us here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here today. And he marked the title, please, for Dave.
It's a long one.
It is a long one.
Golf Operations Superintendent and Merchandise Coordinator.
There he is. That's him.
Yep.
Right there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, Dave. Good.
Good to talk to you. And Red Letter Day coming up in the city of Cedar Rapids, as I know you guys have long awaited this. I think the golfing public has long awaited this as well. We're going to have the ribbon cutting, anyway, for the brand-new clubhouse over at Ellis Golf Course.
That's correct. Yep. Tomorrow we'll have open house from 2:30 to 4:30, with ribbon cutting taking place at 3:30. We're not officially opening yet. You know, when we set the date, we thought we'd have everything, but we've ran into some snags with supply chains, as everything's been this year. And as we went through this clubhouse, you know, we've ran into different things with supply chains that kind of held up stuff, which it's made it a little longer wait for people than they wanted it to be, and we wanted it to be. So I can't wait till it gets opened.
Yeah, it's been a long haul, Dave, for not only golfers, but for you and Mark McMahon. I know you've operated efficiently out of the trailer down by the parking lot. But tell us about the features of this golf clubhouse.
It's a state-of-the-art. It'll have an event center that will hold 120 people, with another seating outside for an additional 24, so roughly 144 people that could be seated for an event there. Inside, there's a bar area where you can sit. There's three TV screens and sitting in front of the bar there, so you can have different events on each of those TVs. In the event center's two big screen TVs too, so hopefully, you know, come Super Bowl time or something, we can have a big gathering in there and have a Super Bowl game going. But a nice pro shop, and the views from the building are fantastic. I mean, you can see the golf in 180 degrees, the whole golf course, so it's kind of nice.
Dave, do you plan on this being a year-round facility in addition to, you know, accommodating golfers in season?
That's the plan right now, you know, to have events throughout the winter, you know, maybe Christmas parties for local businesses and different things like that. So we hope to be able to have some events throughout the winter. And then it'll also be our holiday shop throughout the winter as well. Instead of Twin Pines, we'll move it over there since it's new building and a little more state of the art.
Yeah, Yeah, and we got a chance to look through the windows anyway the other day.
We did.
With Mark, and but that Mark, and then Mark McMahon, of course, kind of leading the way. But a lot of neat things for the golfing public, and it's going to be, it's a long time coming, we know that, but in the end, it's really going to serve the needs of the golfers of the city and of the area, really. And it's going to be a clubhouse worthy of the history of Ellis.
Yeah, and we're also going to recognize that side of town, the Ellis side of town. You know, they've been hit with the floods and everything so badly, but we're going to have pictures in the event center, kind of the history of that area. So that's kind of a different. But you know, it's not only going to serve the golfers, but I think also businesses can bring, you know, there are events out there and stuff too. So hopefully more than just the golfers.
Dave, what has it been like for you and your staff and others since the derecho, not only with the clubhouse being demolished, but losing so many trees? Scott and I have been out there multiple times, and it's just a different look, even though you planted new trees. Now, what's the whole experience been like since the derecho?
Well, especially there at Ellis, working out of the trailer, I have to give credit to that staff to having to deal with working out of that situation for 2 years. They've done a fantastic job of overcoming those obstacles and still giving that customer service. So that's been impressive. And the courses have just taken on a different, you know, appearance, all of them, with the loss of trees. And, you know, they've helped with the new trees. It's just going to take a while for those to grow in and to give that character back. But, you know, with some of the no-mow areas and stuff, you can kind of define the holes, which has been the big thing, is just, you know, where it used to be tree lines, now you don't have anything. So you got to kind of give a little bit of a definition there.
Yeah, and a lot of new plantings out there, not only at Ellis, but also out at Gardner. Twin Pines also with a lot of new plantings out there. And again, please, you know, it's going to take a while. And, of course
is in good shape.
It is. Very, yeah. Very good shape.
The maintenance staffs have done great at all the courses. I mean, they've dealt with a lot of rain at certain times and then not a lot of rain. So they're doing a good job keeping them, you know, looking good. You know, without the trees, they look totally different than what they used to, that's for sure.
Tomorrow's event open to the public, Dave, right?
That's correct, yep. You can come. There'll be some staff there to kind of explain the different areas. You can walk through, take a look, and then join in for the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, that'll be good. And a lot of exciting things coming up as far as the city of Cedar Rapids and golf is concerned. City AMs are coming up, and people can sign up for those right now, correct?
Yes, forms are at all the shops for the men's and senior city AMs. The women's city AM takes place Friday and Saturday of this weekend. So that's already the deadline's come for that one already. But you can also register for the men's and senior online as well. The forms are there to fill out as well.
Great, great. And I know Ellis is getting a lot of use, certainly. And I know stopping by the other morning, I had a junior PGA girls event that was taking place. So good to see the course being recognized and hosting some of these tournaments.
Yeah, it's a great facility. And now with the clubhouse there to give it, you know, that much more that look and also space to host that type of event is going to be great.
Really will be. Really will be. Again, 2:30 tomorrow, is that correct?
Yep, 2:30 to 4:30 is the open house with the ribbon cutting at 3:30.
All right, 3:30 is the ribbon cutting. That'll be something we have looked forward to for a long, long time, and then the opening shortly thereafter, hopefully. And you will not shed any tears when they drag the trailer out of the parking lot, will you?
I will not. It'll open up a lot more parking spaces, too, because right now people park everywhere over there. So, and to get the open or the upper parking lot open too, that'll be nice as well. So
yeah, right now that's for the construction folks.
Yep.
Hey, Dave, appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the line here, probably in a couple of weeks at the City AM, and always good talking with you.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dave Rowe, joining us from the city of Cedar Rapids and the golf department here.
It's a big deal for me, having grown up on that course and seeing, you know, that clubhouse is very old. And first of all, to see it demolished a couple days after the derecho, and then to see what's going on now. And it is a very nice facility.
It is. And Brian, you know, the clubhouse is the lifeblood of a golf complex and
pro shop.
It is, and it was probably time anyway that the previous clubhouse was built in 1961, right? Yep. So it was probably antiquated as it was. So it's a good thing. Change is good,
and I think they kind of figured that when the tree went through the roof.
Yes,
but yeah, we would like to have done it a different way, but hey, got it taken and a new one right there, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful, and I think it'll be a very, very good banquet facility as well.
Yeah, the size of it is perfect to have events like that. It, you know, coming from a background of having event spaces and such at all my facilities, they did the right thing. They built adequate event space for outings and other events, and it's just going to be beautiful. The pictures I've seen are great.
Going to be good. So our thanks to Dave Rowe for joining us. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class getting started here at 3:31 on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Brian Haas joining us. And, of course, your questions welcome. If you have a question about your game, how to improve it, Brian will answer that at 319-366-1600. That is the text line. You can also just go ahead and dial us up if you have a question. Ben will take your call at 319-366-1600. And a lot to talk about as far as golf is concerned with the Open Championship about to get underway. The 150th Open Championship. Pretty historic happenings at St. Andrews this week.
That's the way I was going to put it. Very historical. Just a fun anniversary, isn't it? 150. That's pretty cool.
Old Tom Morris, young Tom Morris. Who's old?
Yeah, I think around 30 at 30 events. That's correct. St. Andrews, yeah.
This is the 30th. And they were showing highlights earlier on today of Zach Johnson's win. And amazingly enough, it seems like yesterday it was a Monday finish,
right?
If you recall. We were in here watching it and not giving play by play, but giving you updates because you can't give play by play. And, yeah, we've got the sports section from the Gazette right behind you, Mark, on that from that Tuesday after Zach won the Claret Jug.
Yeah, it was quite special. And if you remember, Jordan Spieth was in the hunt until 17.
Had a lead.
And he bogeyed that hole, felt one back, and he ended up one out of the playoffs. And, you know, Zach somehow prevailed in the four-hole aggregate, which I really like, Brian. Do you?
I do. Yeah, you know, it's a little better than sudden death. You know, you can at least have some nerves and get over them.
Yeah,
and gives you a little space to get going again. Depending on what time of day you played to get into that playoff is a big deal.
It is. It is. And you remember the golfer that Zach beat in the playoff?
He beat two of them: Mark Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen.
Correct.
That's impressive.
Not bad. Not bad. And Oosthuizen was going for his second consecutive win at St. Andrews.
He nearly pushed it on, barely missing a putt on the last hole.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Zach made a putt on the last hole.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good one. Pretty darn good one. Still remember Damon Green after that putt going in, the former caddy for Zach. And he was involved in what was a really, really cool thing. They have the annual Champions Dinner, not only at Augusta, but they also have it for the Open Championship. And with this being the 150th, more attended this one. And that photograph that they took outside the clubhouse, I think between the first tee and the 18th green, which are adjacent to one another.
It's a big photo.
That was,
Minus Phil, minus Greg Norman.
Minus a few people. And there were a few that were eligible to come back, did not. But that photograph is, that's a heavy hitter right there. Between John Daly and his glory and Sandy Lyle in a kilt. Jack Nicklaus pretty much front and center, along with Tiger Woods.
And should be.
Those two should be front and center. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Gary Player, of course, Tom Watson. A lot of people consider this the king of the majors.
Well, I was going to ask Brian. I think it was Jack Nicklaus who said, unless you win at St. Andrews, you don't cement your place in history. And I don't necessarily agree with that, Brian. I want to see what you have to say. Because it's only played there every 5 years.
Right.
Unlike Augusta and the Masters.
Right. I see what he's saying. I get it. And he can say it because he's in it, right?
And so, he's Jack.
Yeah.
And he's done it.
And Tiger's done it, so why not say it? And I don't know. I struggle with it also. You know, you can cement your way, you know, to being in golf's history a lot of ways. There's lots of players that I think are great players that haven't done what those two have done, and yet I think of them as you know, truly guys that I will always watch for the rest of my life.
Now you think about Zach winning at Augusta and St. Andrews.
That's right. A small
you're cementing
small
yourself.
Group.
right. That's a small group.
That is a small group. And each one of the majors, and I tend to say it's kind of like what sport do you like? Well, what season is it? Which major do you like the most? Well, which one is coming up? You've got, of course, the color and all of the tradition of the Masters. You've got the U.S. Open, which is, you know, anybody can get in it as long as you qualify as far as your handicap is concerned. The PGA, that's more of the players out there. That's their championship, if you will. And then you have the Open Championship, which is kind of the championship of the world.
Right.
Each one has its own little idiosyncrasy.
Definitely.
Which makes it fun. And it'll be interesting. It is playing very, very hard and fast right now. A lot of the players talking, they're going to hit irons. You're going to see a lot of irons. You're not going to see a driver. If you see one, take a picture, because that's not going to happen very often.
No, DeChambeau is going to go for
it. Well, Bryson is going to go for it.
And I think you're going to see a number of players do it, just depending on where they're standing. You know, they can take those chances if they're a little behind and feel like they're really stuck behind and need that boost. You're going to see some longer shots happen.
It's such an interesting course, Brian, as you know, that it's got, what, 7 or 8 double greens?
Right.
You don't see that. It's a course that didn't have an architect, per se.
Right.
And I mean, so many nuances, the pot bunkers that I don't know if you've ever played a course like that, but even though it's hard and fast, balls could roll out into those bunkers.
That's what they're talking about.
Be in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be different. It's a whole different type of golf. I think it's going to be, you know, you almost have to go down, if you want anything like that, go play municipal golf courses in Texas in the middle of August, right, to get that firm, you know, dry, windy kind of condition.
These bunkers, and most of them have names.
Right.
Never good when you get into a bunker with a name attached to it. I try to avoid those. They're basically one-shot penalties. And some, if you are in the right up against the face, I mean, you got to go backwards or you're not going to get out.
Yeah, or sideways.
Yeah, you're not going to get out.
Yep.
And they are 1.5-stroke penalty bunkers. Tiger Woods, when he won in, I believe, 05, did not hit a driver, did not hit a bunker. And just an amazing feat that he accomplished back then. He is in the field, by the way, if you've not heard.
Yeah. How are we going to rank the Open Championship among the four majors? I mean, each major has its, you know, different way of qualifying.
Right.
I think you can probably eliminate a third of the guys in this field.
They don't belong there.
They either don't belong there, they're not good enough to win.
They don't play that kind of golf.
Yeah.
How would you rank the Open in among the four?
It's hard because they obviously, like the U.S. Open, play at different venues. And so it's really hard. I mean, when you're ranking it at St. Andrews, I think you're ranking it as that's a different kind of golf.
Yeah, true.
And so it's going to be so different than what we've been watching all season, just because of where they're playing and the conditions of the golf course. We're gonna watch a golf course that played a lot more like when I was a kid, and we had one row of watering at the local public golf course, and come August it was dry as could be, and you bumped everything everywhere.
Yeah.
And you had to roll it up there, and you had to play the bounce, and that's what we're gonna watch. I haven't played that kind of golf since I was a kid, and golf courses were, dried out and not as green as they are today with the technologies that we have.
It's looking at the forecast for the next 4 days for St. Andrews. Not bad. Temperatures in the low to mid 60s. Not a real windy day. They're talking about winds 12 to 18 miles per hour.
Tops,
which is pretty docile for that area. And if that is the case, they were talking today, I know, on Live at the Open on the Golf Channel. They're saying it could be 22, 25 under. And I think it's looked the other way because it's St. Andrews a little bit. But if they don't adjust, they were talking about the fact that the players do not adjust to the fact that they're going to get rollout. They're going to get themselves in a little bit of trouble, and you could see the score go down a little bit. So
I'm okay with the under par part of it. I rather see a good golf course than a tricked up golf course. And who doesn't like to see a good birdie?
And you can't trick up the old course.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to trick it up. It's there. It's been there for hundreds of years, and it's...
Yeah, the way the greens lay out, you can't shove it behind a bunker in some impossible place that just doesn't lay out that way.
No.
Yeah.
No. And it, of course, has maybe the most famous hole in the world, the road hole.
Right.
Number 17, followed by...
Are you taking it over the hotel?
Darn right.
I love how they say in the letters of the Open, yes. They say, take it over, the O or whatever. And the caddy's telling them which letter to hit it over.
And hope nobody's up there on the balcony.
Right.
341, talking about the Open Championship a little bit here on Caddy Smack and the Gym Class. You have a question for Brian, let us know. 319-366-1600. We do have one question out there. 12-19, and I think this is a very, very good question, and maybe we can even piggyback this, Brian, with a little explanation on how you should do this, but do you think the USGA, or whomever, or the RNA, will ever change the rule for a ball coming to rest in a divot in the fairway? I think this is the most unfair rule there is.
So I'm not an expert at that part of it, as far as the rules and following up at and when they're talking about that. That is on the table.
Yes,
I know they're
is.
Talking about it. I know it's been a pretty hot topic, and I would like to see it because it's a hole made by another player. When you go into a bunker and you hit your bunker shot, you're allowed to fix it. When you hit your shot in the fairway, you're allowed to fix it. And if you fix that and you don't fix it very well, you're really stuck. I understand that. We don't call them hazards anymore, but a bunker is a hazard, or now a not necessarily a penalty area because you're not getting any penalties, but it's it's meant to be difficult. But when you put a ball right down the middle of the fairway, and you end up in somebody's divot that didn't get repaired, I don't know. I get it. It's rubber to the green. That term's been around a really long time, 150 years. And at least we don't play stymies anymore.
Well, you can fix a divot on the green,
right?
You can tap down spike marks now,
correct?
And this is another player's negligence.
It is
by not repairing the divot. So now, if you come to rest in a sand divot, I don't know if that's different or not.
I don't know either, because that is a repaired,
yeah,
area,
yeah,
yeah, and. And the best way to play that shot?
Hit the ball first.
Yes. Because if you don't, you will know it.
It'll go halfway there. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And I will get to something about repairing things here in just a little bit. Another question, 8593. How do you play your wedge shots when the course is wet versus when it is dry. And they, along with a lot of other people, tend to hit it fatter when it's wet.
Yeah, so that just tells me if you're hitting it heavy and wet conditions that you're a little bit centered or maybe to your right side through impact. And so you just maybe play for someone that does set up that way. Just get the ball a little bit deeper or make sure you're more on your left. We definitely have to hit the ball first. You are going to make, when you hit the ball first on wet conditions, you're going to take a big pelt. It's going to be big. You need to go chase it down and put it back. But it's get to your left, make sure you're hitting the ball first. So somebody that's hitting behind it, their body's usually if it's a right-handed player, they're standing on their right side a little bit and they're just hitting behind it. If you hit the ball first, it'll be just fine.
How about when it's dry?
Same thing. If you have a real thin, dry lie, you can expect the ball to spin actually a lot more. And so make sure that you're hitting it past your target if you have some sort of a wedge in your hand so that because it's going to come backwards. But again, hitting that ball first so you don't bounce into the ball and hit that low ball that comes off of a ball that you hit behind on firm conditions.
Very, very good questions right there. Let's take a break. Come back more on Caddy Smack and the Gym Class here on KGYM. When we return, more golf talk. We'll talk about the British Open. Your questions for Brian, welcome at 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
We had a significant foundation settling issue at our residential property, and we needed money fast to fix it, and Midwest One Bank came to our rescue.
We're talking with Brian Kirschling about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank helped us secure a home equity loan in order to remedy the situation. Your home is your most valuable asset, and Midwest One Bank gave us peace of mind, and Midwest One Bank was there when we needed them.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Did you know that MasterForce has thousands of tools at Menards? Any tool you want, we have. There are hammers, drills, pliers, levels, wrenches, grinders, sanders, air compressors, nailers, workbenches, mowers, blowers, chainsaws, floor jacks, knee pads, work lights, fans. Whew. And that's just a taste. Want power, performance, durability? Come check out the wide range of products from MasterForce, exclusively at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back on the Gym Class, KGYM, as we come your way here on this Wednesday. As tomorrow, Jeff Linder of the Gazette will join us. And we will talk about the Athletes of the Year. We'll also preview the Girls State Softball Tournament. Congratulations to all the teams that qualified. And tonight, Class 3A and 4A baseball sub-state finals around the state of Iowa. And best of luck to all of those teams as well. 319-366-1600. As we have been talking golf, Open Championship coming up in 8 hours plus. And more of your questions here. And this one from 6254, Brian. How do you avoid hitting the ball thin?
Ooh, that thin is sometimes
thin to win,
yeah,
baby.
yeah, exactly right. Though I'd much rather hit it thin than heavy for sure. Thin is usually somewhere in your balance. So the majority of the time when I see a player hitting the ball thin a lot, they're backing their heels a little bit at address. So I like to use basketball as a good example. So if you step up to the free throw line, put the basketball in your hand, and get ready to shoot your free throw, that's where you drop the ball and put the club in your hand then. And that's a better balance position. And if you're standing there with your club in your hand and you were to replace that with a basketball and you feel like you're standing on your heels a little bit, you would hit the front of the rim. And so the ball would come up short. Well, that's what happens in your golf swing too. So your swing comes up a little short and you end up thinning the ball. So that's a lot of players that end up being a little bit back in their heels at address.
Now, on iron play, and it ranges from, you know, 4 iron to wedge, but do you always want to take a divot or do you want to hit it thin? Not thin, but pick it?
You know, that's a player preference. You know, I see a lot of players, and I have everything from players that take virtually no divot to, you know, gargantuan divots. You know, they're very steep.
What does it mean?
And whether you take one or doesn't, yeah, it doesn't really mean anything. It's how you can get yourself to impact at a consistent basis. And so we want it. Each player is built so differently, and every swing is different. And so the big piece is, can we do that consistently? And then does that produce a good result? And if it's not producing a good result, then we need to look elsewhere. If it is producing a good result and it's consistent, then we're gonna use that and continue it. Obviously, if somebody's swinging 10 down at a ball or something like that, that's getting pretty steep at it, and we'd want to shallow that out. And if somebody's swinging up at a ball, that could also be a thin shot. Mm-hmm. And they're swinging at it more like they would a driver, something that's sitting on a tee. You know, we would want to fix that. You do want to swing down at the ball. But, you know, say an average 7 iron somewhere in that range is probably about 3 degrees down, you know, for a PGA Tour player, just to give you an idea of how steep they swing at a ball. And so that means you're going to have players that are, if 3 was the average, you know, 5 is going to be your steep guy and 1 is going to be your shallow guy.
Jack Nicklaus said a lot of famous things, but one of the things that stuck with me when I read his book decades ago, tee it up whenever you can.
I agree with that.
Totally, yeah. Right?
Completely, yep. Give yourself a chance to get the ball into the center of the face of your club. You know, when the ball sits on the turf itself, you do have to swing down at it a bit to really get it in the center of gravity of that golf club. And so you do need some downward motion toward the ball to do that. Setting it on a tee just gives you that luxury. It's easier, and I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that.
True. I think that's a very, very good point right there. 319-366-1600 if you want a question for Brian. You can text us that. You can also pick up the phone and dial us up at 319-366-1600. Wanted to say this, and you brought this up earlier with one of your comments, Brian, and that is the fact that I'd like to put a plea out to everyone. Because I think this has been, unfortunately, the worst year I've ever seen of this being neglected, and that is ball marks on the greens.
Fix your ball marks
if you are out there, ladies and gentlemen. Please, 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 not only for the greenskeepers out there, but for everybody in your group. And for everybody later in the day that is going to play and in the next couple
of days.
Fix
a couple besides your own.
Exactly.
Too.
If there's one next to it, fix that one as well and do it properly.
Yeah, and as a former club professional, you know, being in the clubhouse every day, if someone came to me and said, will you show me how to fix a ball mark, I would be so happy to do that. Every golf professional that you see at your facilities, they would love to show you that. Don't be embarrassed to ask. Because I see improperly fixed ball marks as well, that it's almost as bad. At least it's flat. But, you know, when you come up to a ball mark and you hit it in the green, you know, first thing you should do is you walk out in the green, go find it and fix it immediately before you do all of your circling of your putt and whatever you do to hit your next shot. But go from the backside where the grass was pushed up and push it back from the entry position, so toward the fairway. And push it all back together and toward the fairway. And that's the easiest way to do it and the easiest way to explain that to somebody. Because I see players come up and start pushing back toward the hole again, and all they're doing is pushing mud into the center of that divot instead of the grass. There's lots of grass there. Pushed it back toward the hole and just push that grass back toward the fairway and then flatten it out with your putter.
Jim from Kyoto on the text line. Goodness, Scott, thanks for saying that. About divots. Fix two each hole.
And John from Tiffin says spike marks in the green as well. Fix those.
Pick up your feet.
Yes. The thing I've seen, spike marks with the old metal spikes would tear up the green a little bit. We thought we would get away with that with the plastic spikes, but the problem with the plastic spikes is people twist. That's the big thing.
And it dents more. It makes more of a dent as opposed to a spike mark.
Yeah.
So we're seeing more dents is really what it is, because it's a blunt force, you know, to the green is what it is. And so those can be flattened out as well. Yes, I agree.
Just be careful.
Yeah. Be mindful.
Be mindful and be careful about that. Let's see. Question about the rules here. And then we'll get to our open picks here. 0-1-1-2. If you hit a 150-yard shot into a bunker and it is big-time plug, can you go back to where you hit it and play it as an unplayable with the rules?
Always.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. And I don't know if you're going to see that at the Open Championship, but like we talked about,
you hit it up against that wall.
Yeah, you could see somebody do that.
You can always say it's unplayable at any point.
Have to go back to the exact same spot you hit
it
from?
Close as, you
or anywhere.
As close as you can. Yeah, you don't have to throw it in your own divot. But
you can't go halfway.
No, you can't go halfway.
Right. No, it's got to go back to where you hit the ball.
Yep.
Where you hit the ball right there. 319-366-1600. This is Mark's question. Mark in 8535. I'm a casual golfer. No distance out of irons. What can make me hit them farther? I don't think, now you don't have no distance, Mark, but that was a question, something similar.
At what age do you lose distance?
Or
do you have to?
Right. You don't have to, right? That's a physical body thing. And it's all different ages. You know, earlier off the air, we were talking about Bernhard Langer, right?
Yeah.
How old is he?
60s.
Yeah.
Close to 70, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still pounding it out there. And so it's a physical body thing, and everybody's body has been through different wars and, you know, within themselves, you know, mine being hockey and other sports that I probably shouldn't have been doing, but I did. And so my body's older than it probably actually is. So that being said, length, you know, just for an average player saying that they're not hurting any more than anybody else, usually comes from their path. And so most players, a good example, I had one just the other day, his path was 18 degrees to the left. And if you think of a car crash and a golf ball, that's what we want. We want a perfect car crash where they're meeting each other head on and crumpling that ball, right? And if you're swinging 18 degrees across that ball, you're sideswiping it. Yeah. And so then you lost everything you put into that golf swing. Even though that swing is producing a good pace, you're sideswiping the golf ball, so you're losing distance. So most of the time I see in players that their path is so far off the target line. If you stood there without a golf club and you had to throw the ball, you'd throw your hand right at the target. Well, your club is really just an extension of your hands, so you'd need that club going to that target. So another quick example is the worst player on tour a lot of times is Rory. He swings 4 degrees inside. That's as far off the target line as he gets, is 4 degrees. And he's kind of considered, you know, one of the worst paths. And that's why when he won 5 weeks ago, TrackMan came out and said, Rory wins, because he uses the TrackMan to make sure that he stays closer to zero. And so when I see 18 in a player, you know, that's way off, and we're going to lose a lot of distance. And then length of swing, Mark, you know, as we get older, we get more careful. We don't move the club as long. You don't have to swing it any harder, but if we can make that club move farther, just general physics says that ball will go farther, and it will. So just make sure your club head's going as far as you can make it go.
Website quick and your pick.
Is lakehousesports.com, and my pick would be Will Zalatoris.
All right, Mark.
Cameron Smith, dark horse, Seamus Power.
I am picking for the greatest party ever to hit St. Andrews, Shane Lowry, to win his second Claret Jug.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, the bars in St. Andrews. Oh, it was a great one the first time he won. But
right.
I think Shane Lowry's going to win this thing. I think he's going to win. Thank you, Brian. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, tomorrow we'll see you at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming up next.
Stop buying tickets without rewards and start getting more from the only ticketing company.